join me in reciting one mantra before we start the class? Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam. Tato Jayam Udiraye. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. I have Canto 10, Chapter 33, Text 9. And 10. They're on the screen? Yes. Kachit samang mukundena swarajati amishrita puninye pujita tena priyata sadhu sadviti tad eva dhruvam uninye tasyai manam cha bhavadat kachit samam kundena Swarajati Ramishrita Uninye Pujita Tena Priyata Sadva Sadviti Taddeva Dhruva Muninye Tasyai Manam Jabhavada
Kachit samam mukundena
Uninye pujita tena
Priyata
sadhu sadviti
Tadeva
dhruva muninye Chasmin manam cha bhavadat
Kachit samam sumundena
Kachit samam sumundena
Swarajati
ramishrita
Uninye pujita tena
Uninye pujita tena
Priyata
sadhu sadviti Taddeva dhruva muninye Tasyai manam cha bhavadat
Kachit samam mukundena
Swarajati ramishrita
Uninye
pujita tena
Priyata sadhu sadviti
Tadeva dhruva muninye
Tasyai
manam cha bhavadat Ladies, Kachit samam kundena, Swarajati ramishrita,
Uninye pujita tena,
Priyata sadhu sadviti. Kachit Priyata Sadhu Sadhviti. Tadeva Dhruvamanye. Tasaimanam Tavadat.
Do we do 10 now? Read 9 or do 10?
Read the 9 word for word meaning.
Okay.
And in 10 just read the translation.
Okay. Kachit, a certain gopi, samam, together, mukundena, with Lord Krishna, swarajati, pure musical tones, amishrita, not confused with the sounds vibrated by Krishna. Uninye, she raised, pujita, honored, tena, by him, priyata, who was pleased, sadhu, sadhu, ite, saying, excellent, excellent, tateva, that same melody. Truvam, with a particular metrical pattern. Uninye, vibrated another gopi. Tasyai, to her. Manam, special respect. Cha, and Bahu, much. Adat, he gave. One gopi joining Lord Mukunda in his singing sang pure melodious tones that rose harmoniously above his. Krishna was pleased and showed great appreciation for her performance, saying, excellent, excellent. Then another gopi repeated the same melody, but in a special metrical pattern, and Krishna praised her also. We repeat. After me, one gopi joining Lord Mukunda in his singing, sang pure melodious tones that rose harmoniously above his. Krishna was pleased and showed great appreciation for her performance, saying, excellent, excellent. Then another gopi repeated the same melody, but in a special metrical pattern, and Krishna praised her also. Recite 10. Okay, verse 10. Kachit rasa parishranta parshvastasya gadabrata jagraha bahuna skandam shlathad valaya malika. When one gopi grew tired from the rasa dance, she turned to Krishna, standing at her side holding a baton, and grasped his shoulder with her arm. The dancing had loosened her bracelets and the flowers in her hair. This is very intimate pastimes. We must be on the 10th canto. Purport is given. The previous verse states that Sri Krishna honored the gopis for their dancing and singing. And in this verse, 10, we see how the gopis responded to dealing intimately and confidently with him. Here, a tired gopi held on to Krishna's shoulder with her arm resting against him. Srila Jiva Goswami explains that the word gada in this verse indicates a baton suitable for a dancing master. Lord Krishna brought this item of paraphernalia to enhance his enjoyment of the rasa dance. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti states that the gopi mentioned here is Srimati Radharani, whereas the two gopis mentioned in the previous verse are in order Vishakha and Lalita. Jai. Srila Prabhupada often said, you can sing and dance with Krishna. You can eat with Krishna. You can talk with him. You can perform all these pastimes with him if you want to go there. So here the highest platform of reciprocation with Krishna is given in the 10th canto. The most intimate pastimes of love between Krishna and his devotees. We have a reading class in Alachua, and we're towards the end of the Nectar of Devotion now. And in the Nectar of Devotion also, these intimate exchanges between the Lord and his devotees are given. It was one of the first five books that Srila Prabhupada published. And there's things that we couldn't even conceive of back when we had joined in the 60s and early 70s, the exchange of betel nuts by kissing, the pastimes that are given. Srila Prabhupada goes right to the point of develop love for Krishna. There was one pamphlet published in the 1960s. When my wife and I first met the devotees at the end of 1970, they were passing out or selling a pamphlet called Krishna, the Reservoir of Pleasure. And so what is this about? Oh, this is about God. Who thought of God as the reservoir of pleasure? Only the purest of Vaishnavas, only the Vedic literature, the contribution of Shukadev Goswami. It's something beyond the mental imagination to conceive of. Srila Prabhupada would talk often about the path of self-realization. One morning here in on the road, when there was just a dirt road, it was Raksha Bandhan, it was Balaram's appearance day, 1974, and we went on the morning walk with Srila Prabhupada. And no cars, no walking, no rickshaws. Within one hour of the walk, only person that came by was a tanga with the driver. And the driver looked at the 10 of us and Srila Prabhupada and said, Jai Radhe. And Srila Prabhupada said, Hare Krishna. It was so cute and divine and old-time Vrindavan. You know, that experience, you never forget something like that. And now Srila Prabhupada has spread his love to thousands and millions of you devotees and pilgrims coming here every day and temples being built and people being initiated as disciples and books being sold. But at that time, it was smaller, and it was a little more intimate. Even a person like me, who's not a temple president, or I was like a temple commander in a small temple, but all day long with Srila Prabhupada. In the morning on the walk, serving him breakfast, reading Isopanishad at noon, greeting guests in the afternoon, coming to sit with him at night. It was a special time for us. But now to see what a miracle he's performed in Vrindavan is wonderful to see, and is more relishable than 5 or 10 of us, you know, getting the special mercy of the pure devotee. Everybody's getting it now, all over the world. You have devotees coming from every country.
Yeah, other planets too.
I was going to talk a little bit about Dhruva Maharaj, because Srila Prabhupada says if you want to get to this high state of love, of bhakti, Dhruva Maharaj is the example. And there are two qualifications he mentioned. One is sincerity, and one is determination. On that morning walk, on Balaram's appearance day, my wife and I were talking, oh, we're going to get some special nectar from Prabhupada today. And in the lecture, Prabhupada talked all about, I am not this body. Not rasa, not the things we hadn't achieved or even believed we could achieve at that time. But he said, your spiritual life begins when you fully understand you are not this body. Then talks can begin. Yeah. The descriptions now in the 10th canto, at one time Srila Prabhupada said you have to progress gradually from the first to the second up to this point of pure lila between Krishna and his most intimate devotees, the Ashtasakis. He was, but from the beginning he was pushing this point that you can love Krishna, and that love is the most satisfying experience that we can have. That's actually why God, you contemplate the greatness of God, which all religions speak about. If you want to understand, one of his qualities is that he expands himself into unlimited quadrillions of individual jivas. All of us here, individual jivas, with a unique personal relationship in love with God, and with each person having unique talents, which are described here in text 10, unique talents with which to exchange that relationship with Krishna. How unlimitedly great and powerful is God that he does that? It boggles the mind. Like Lord Brahma, when he saw the cowherd boys and the cows being expanded by Krishna, he said, what? I put them away in a cave. He lost his ability to try and even understand it. So to think of God like that, he has created me, thinking yourself, he has created me with a unique talent, with a unique relationship, with a unique ability to give him satisfaction, like we're hearing in text 10 today. Any comment or any addition? I'm nervous up here. You have to help me a little bit.
So Prabhupada did put out the Krishna book and Nectar Devotion. All these things are discussed in that book. So we need to assume that if we hear it from the right sources in the Guru Parampara, that we'll get a proper understanding. We're not going to really break the rule by delving into it necessarily in the cheap way. Is that what it, I mean, we're going now to town table. People thought, oh, we shouldn't do that. We should, because we're not qualified. Maybe like the thing you said, Nectar Devotion. Prabhupada said, read it again, read it again, read it three times. and also Krishna book. So all these things are discussed even at a very neophyte stage. So can you give some words about that?
Sure. That was one of my notes that I wrote down here, that I discussed that point, that that's possible for us to understand if we hear from the right source. If we hear from Srila Prabhupada, Shukadeva Goswami, if we hear it from our own mind or from a non-authorized channel, channeling being very popular these days, then we can really grasp what Radharani and the gopis are feeling, at least theoretically. But we have to hear it from the right source if we want to reestablish that pure love that's in the soul. I think of one pastime. I see Prithu Prabhu here. I think of one pastime being a child of the 60s, where Srila Prabhupada was staying at Tittenhurst Estate in England, and John Lennon and Yoko Ono would come and meet with Prabhupada, and they would say, "Prabhupada, there's so many mantras, there's so many gurus. How do we know which is the best?" And Srila Prabhupada said, "Just hear from the one who is completely in love with Krishna. Who is most attached to Krishna? Who talks Krishna 24 hours a day? If you got the chance to be with Prabhupada, you saw that there was never a moment of his relaxing in rest and giving up Krishna consciousness. It was 24/7. He is totally absorbed. And the gopis are no chance of coming down to the material world like we have." We asked Srila Prabhupada once in his room in Los Angeles. Anyone has been to Prabhupada's quarters in Los Angeles? Jai Narayan. Jai. Yes? Oh, Shruta, you've been there? We asked him once, "Srila Prabhupada, you have said that we left Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. But some others say that no, we start off in the Brahma Jyoti." Prabhupada said, "No, it is true we have fallen from the world." I was sitting there. You can argue about the point if you want. At first, we just become a little curious what it would be like to enjoy myself. And then he said, the first fall down is not so severe. Maybe you go to, you know, but if you continue with that addiction to self-enjoyment apart from your relationship with Krishna, anda tamaha pravishanti yevidyam upasate. You know that shloka? No? Or you can go as low as you like, and Krishna will facilitate that. How does he facilitate it? He knows within the heart of our souls what we want, what we're thinking, what is our real intention. Right? We can't cheat the Lord. And he facilitates that. He's so kind. He advises against leaving him and going into the wheel of samsara, but he intuits what is in our heart. He's within the heart of the jiva. He understands. You know, so We can't cheat him. We just have to pray to him sincerely, Lord, I want to love you. I don't. Please help me. One time in that same, I don't know if you were there, in that same meeting with Srila Prabhupada, as you can tell, I'm a very talkative fellow. And I would talk about whatever was on my mind. Sometimes it got me into a lot of trouble. But we'll forget those pastimes. We'll talk about the good ones. So one time I said to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, if you are neophyte, I'm still a neophyte after too many years, sorry. But if you're neophyte, but you feel a particular way towards Krishna, what is that? Is that sahajiya? He opened his eyes big and wide, like you've seen that expression. He said, oh, that is what is wanted. Right from the spiritual master. Please develop your feeling for Krishna. Of course, we can't imitate or we can't concoct, right? Then it becomes a mental exercise. But develop some rasa, develop some feeling. Every devotee already has that, right? You like to... What's your favorite?
Himalayas.
Himalayas? Kedarnath?
Yes.
Badrinath?
Yes.
Gangotri?
Uh-huh.
Jamunotri?
Yes.
Chardham Yatra?
Yes.
Go? He does? Every year? One year we went to Kedarnath. We had been at Badrinath. We went to Kedarnath, and my wife and I and our two guests, we hired these nice Nepalese boys, the palanquin. And they carry on each side, four of them, and they walk in perfect right leg, left leg, right leg, left leg. Perfect harmony between all of them. And one time they stopped to rest for a second, and we see a couple, must have been at least 80 years old, man and wife, walking with canes, going on barefoot. And we're 30 years old, and what kind of devotee am I? He's real devotees. So admirable about India that there are real Vaishnavas, real austere people, and they follow the real procedure. It's like your great temple president here. Kedarnath is so wonderful, especially. 3:30 in the morning, go into the temple and put your japa mala on Nandi, and you rub oil, and you see the glittering mountains with white snow and the very bright stars in the sky, so much like you could almost touch them. And this is just pilgrimage. Here we're talking about Radharani putting her arm on Krishna's shoulder and resting. How many Chardham Yatras do we have to do to get to that point? But whatever, I'm just making a point, that whatever feeling brings you closer to Krishna, Srila Prabhupada said to me, that is what is wanted. And Prabhupada knows who I am, what's going on in my heart and in my head, he encouraged that feeling. So if you have a particular feeling to Krishna, make it deeper and deeper and constant so that you never forget Krishna, you always remember him. Or maybe that's backwards. Always remember Krishna and Never forget him. Ladini. No, she's loud.
But on the internet.
Oh, okay.
It's true, I think it's very well. Hare Krishna, I'm wondering about this point to like cultivate the feelings for Krishna. I don't have much of those, except like when things don't go the way I want to, I feel angry. So, Krishna.
You can approach Krishna in a mode of anger. That's an indirect rasa.
But I am wondering like whether, because the pure devotee Shatropa is like, it's non-different. Like if I feel feelings for Shatropa and I cultivate them, is it the same?
Who remembers Chandan Acharya? You do? Yeah. When I was a brahmachari in San Francisco temple, early 70s, I asked him, if you think of Srila Prabhupada at the time of death, what happens? And he goes, psht. I remember that psht sound that he made even, you know, is identical. Destination. You go to the pure devotee, and where is the pure devotee? He's at the lotus feet of Krishna 24 hours or eternally in the spiritual world, never deviating. What say you, Prituji? You have a comment?
No.
Please?
Oh, there's a comment in the back there, though.
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Hare Krishna, thank you very much for the class. And I wanted to share a special lila. Srila Prabhupada Lila, connected with this beautiful description of the 10th canto. It was Tamal Krishna Swami Maharaj who got very sick, and he got an operation in India. And he went, he got anesthesia, and he had a very powerful dream. Prabhupada was quite worried about Tamal Krishna Goswami having the operation in India. And when Tamal woke up, Prabhupada was there. And Tamal Krishna Goswami asked, Srila Prabhupada had a dream. He described the dream and he asked Srila Prabhupada, is that true? So in that Prabhupada, very full of humility, said, yes, this is true. And in this dream, the scene was that Lord Chaitanya was actually lamenting about the suffering of the conditioned souls in Kali Yuga. And he was seeing that the preaching was going down after his departure. He was accompanied by all his associates, all our acharya, our guru parampara. And at some point, somebody told, but do not worry, my lord, because the servant of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is actually getting ready to come and spread the holy name all over this world. So then Lord Chaitanya asked every one of his associates to give a special blessing to Srila Prabhupada. And it was so beautiful because each associate gave actually his own unique quality to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. Okay. And when it came to the turn of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he gave the following blessing to Srila Prabhupada, that Bhaktivedanta Swami will be able to describe like me the conjugal pastimes of Sri Srimada and Krishna in such a way that the loss of the conditioned soul will disappear. So that was actually the blessing of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and Prabhupada confirmed the dream was true.
Jai Srila Prabhupada. There's one point, I believe it's in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Jai Maharaj. I don't remember the exact quote, but he says, there is an invisible chain of cooperation between all the demigods and devas and the devotees on earth. All of the servants of Krishna are communicating and helping Srila Prabhupada and helping you also spread Krishna consciousness. It is not a solo flight. I'll tell one pastime from New York, if it's okay. There was a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, very nice, strong devotee, who left Krishna consciousness. And not only left Krishna consciousness, but he became a devil worshiper. You know, wearing horns and ghastly view, you know, look on the face and everything. And he left his devotee wife, and he joined up with a devotee or non-devotee girl. And then he got very sick. And on his deathbed in New York, he couldn't move for a week. He suddenly sat up. Srila Prabhupada, you have come. In shock that Prabhupada would come to such a fallen soul. And the girl, he died that day, and the girl who, what is this, you know? A couple of years later, she got a book on the street in New York, and it said, Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktivedanta. And then she, his Hare Krishna teacher came to see him. He had never even discussed Krishna with his new girlfriend. They were, you know, following a tamasic path. But Srila Prabhupada will never forget any of us. Or Krishna will never forget any little bit of service that we perform. I'm just reading in the very inspiring fourth canto story of Dhruva Maharaj. He comes to God because he's angry and he wants a kingdom bigger than that of his father, Swayambhuva, or his grandfather, Lord Brahma. And Narada Muni comes to him, you know the story, and says, my dear boy, go back home. When you're older, and then you can take up this, you know, this path. And Dhruva Maharaj, so determined, I mentioned before, sincere and determined, he says, my dear Narada, I'm sorry, but I cannot follow your path. He wants something. Later on, Dhruva Maharaj, he's given everything. He's given the Vaikuntha planet in the material world, which will never be destroyed. And all of the stars and planets are rotating around him. You know, his determination and his sincerity was so strong that even he came to God for some material thing, which he later regretted. He says, I could have asked for you, who are the greatest achievement of everyone, of anything, but all I asked for broken pieces of glass. You know, and he was regretting that. So anyone who approaches Prabhupada, Lord Krishna, the Shastra, any manifestation of Krishna in his millions and millions of forms, there's a Vaikuntha planet waiting you in your particular rasa. Of course, the best is given here in our class today. The gopis enjoying the spiritual rasa lila with Krishna. If you don't hear about it from the bona fide source, which is I'm including all of the Maya bodies in the world, they think, oh, Krishna's a rascal, he's enjoying other people's ladies, he's a playboy. They insult him for it. But the Vaishnavas understand how this is the full manifestation of the purpose of creation. In Los Angeles, one newspaper reporter came to see Prabhupada and said, Swamiji, what is the purpose of life? And Prabhupada replies, the purpose of life is pleasure. God creates us to enjoy the pleasurable, loving relationship with Him. It's so intense that we'll be crying 24 hours a day, crying for Krishna, thanking Him in deep emotional bhava. This is actually the teaching of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He came to taste what Radharani and Lalita and Vishakha were feeling. It's so great, the emotion that the devotee feels, is that God Himself becomes a devotee to see what we're going through. Yeah. Anyway, thank you for listening. Some comment?
Yes, I have two comments. Going back a little bit, you said remembering Prabhupada was okay. He was directly asked that question at the end of a class in Mexico City, because he spoke about at the time of death, you remember Krishna, you go back to Krishna. And all this was being translated by Vidyananda Maharaj. So at the end of the class, when elderly lady, in our opinion, she was like the mother of a devotee, but a devotee in Mexico. And she said, Prabhupada, what if we remember you at the time of death? And Prabhupada just smiled and went, that's okay. So that's how he responded.
Jai.
The other one, we know Prabhupada was in France, in Paris, for the installation of Radha Harishwari. And after being there for some days, Prabhupada spoke some French. He was in his room with a few of the devotees and he went, fuh, 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 fuh. That was how he saw the French language. He just went, fuh, 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 fuh.
That nice lady, was that a French accent? Yes.
Yes, that's
it. Is unmistakable. Sorry.
Thank you, sir. There's another story about how Krishna responds to innocent desire to see him. There was a yoga center in Heidelberg. Srivananda was there, myself. And so Srivananda, we stayed in some hippies because we had no place to stay. Every day we go. Now, Srivananda, he took a picture of Woody Manohar. I don't remember that picture. It's a darkish kind of picture. And we went used to the Krishna stands alone now, very beautiful. He hangs it over the bed of that child. He was about 3-4 years old. And he would read to him every evening the Krishna. And the boy sometimes started crying. I wanted to see Krishna. I couldn't see Krishna. So one night, in the morning, he woke us up. He said, Krishna was here. He said, he came out of the picture and he played with me. And then there was some noise. He went back to the picture. He said, I asked Prabhupada in Paris the morning of, was that Krishna? Prabhupada stopped. He said, tell me the story again. He heard the story and said, that was Krishna. He came to this innocent child because he had some sincere desire to see Krishna.
I think every devotee, all of you, must have some inspirational push from Lord Krishna to carry on with your bhakti practice. He doesn't leave you hanging. He reciprocates.
And the dream, I had a dream that Prabhupada was talking with some sannyasis and he saw me. And so just a minute, he came over and grabbed my hands. And he said, no, don't worry, I'm always here for you. He touched my head and said, I'll always be in your mind, I'll always be in your heart. And when you die, I'll come back to get you, to take you to be with me and Krishna in the spiritual world. because my mother had done legal work for Prabhupada when she was about to die. The caregiver said, "Look, she's talking to someone. Someone's here. Who's here?" And my mother was talking, and my mother said, "Prabhupada's here." She said, "Prabhupada, save me."
She's very eager to talk. This is another good qualification, eagerness for devotion. If you don't really want it, why should he reciprocate, you know?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, your class was so wonderful.
Hare Krishna.
I have a small comment. I normally never make any comment, but I have a question as well. I just wanted to first start with a comment. When you said that, did you say that when you spoke to Prabhupada and you said that if a neophyte devotee is feeling something for Krishna, if it's okay or not? And then you said Prabhupada said that was okay.
No, he went, "Oh, that is what is wanted." He was so enthusiastic.
Yeah, that was very nice for me to hear, because when I joined in 94 and I had some feeling for Krishna, and I was told by the authority very heavily not to feel like this, not to think like this, not to talk like, not to ask questions.
It wasn't here, right?
No. So when you just made that point, I never heard that since all those years, and it just put my heart to furthermore rest. So thank you so much for sharing that. So my question is that you mentioned in your class that you said you talk a lot, and sometimes I got you into trouble with Prabhupada. So would you feel comfortable to share anything from that?
It's not appropriate for Vrindavan, though it happened in Vrindavan.
You can tone it down.
Anyway, so it was Balaram's appearance day, and he took birth here in Vrindavan. But her husband was in jail in Mathura. So I said to Prabhupada, "Srila Prabhupada, wasn't there a scandal?" Prabhupada didn't blink an eye. He said, "Just because he was in jail doesn't mean there wasn't a visit." Then he got very serious and he looked at me and said, "You should not ask this type of question. Janma karma chame divyam. There's no need for impregnation by the material process for Krishna to appear." But, you know, and I definitely felt then that I had displeased Prabhupada, and I remember it to that day that this concept that everything is generated by some material energy is completely wrong thinking. Everything happens because of the soul energy, not because of matter. And you can't solve problems of life or questions of life by analyzing each atom in each material thing. The source of life is God, and the source of life in your body is your Atma, yourself. Okay, Hare Krishna, Jai Srila Prabhupada. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for participating. Thank you, Maharajas. Hare Bol.